Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Morning, good to be here, share from God's Word with you. Greetings from the campus in Kubelup. Our lead pastor, Nick Scott, is there this morning, and so good to be here. Carry on in our series from Scott Higgins' book, The Single Thing. And this morning it's from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And as I began to prepare and reflect on the story, I thought about the blind people in our own country. And there are about 357,000 blind people in Australia, legally blind people. Some are partially blind, others are totally blind. They live in total darkness. So as I begin to reflect on this passage, I thought let me start in the beginning in Mark chapter 10, and there are a few questions that are in this passage. And the first one is in chapter 10, verse 2, where someone asks Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And then in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, we have the rich young ruler who asks Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So you see these questions come to Jesus. And then in chapter 10, verse 26, the disciples ask Jesus, who then can be saved? Again, questions coming to Jesus. But here in this passage, you have Jesus asking a blind man, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? So Jesus asks him a question rather than the questions being asked to Jesus. Well, in this book by Scott Higgins on page 30, he tells a story of a Greek Orthodox theologian named Alexander Papatheros. And he says that Papatheros was asked what was the meaning of life. And as he thought about it, he pulled out a mirror from his wallet. Because during the war, he went and saw a motorbike accident, and there was a broken mirror on the side of the road there in that car accident, or that motorbike accident. And he picked up a piece of that fragmented mirror, and he made it nice and round on a stone, and he kept that mirror in his wallet. And so as he began to explain the things of God, somebody asked him a pretty profound question, perhaps a question that you and I need to ask ourselves, and that is the question, what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? And I've had to ask that question myself many times. Perhaps we need to ask ourselves a question this morning. Why has God put us on this earth? What is the meaning of it? My beautiful wife and son are in South Africa at the moment. My father-in-law has not been doing too well. And I just thought to myself, you know, Christofides, man with no wife and son is like street with no name. What is the meaning of life? What am I without my wife and son? But what is the meaning of life? When I stand alone before God, what is the meaning of life? I thought to myself, the way the theologian put it was so beautiful. He says, I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the black places in the hearts of men, and change some things in some people. Perhaps others may see and do likewise. This is what I am about. This is the meaning of life. That I can reflect light into the dark places. Wow. With that in mind, I'm going to ask Evelyn to read this passage this morning.
Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Wow, thank you. You see, Jesus never touched blind Bartimaeus. He just spoke the word because Bartimaeus believed. You see, it's a little bit about faith. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you." And I think this morning, as we begin to look at this passage, there's something that is crucial that we need to understand. Who Jesus is. Because as we understand who Jesus is, so we can put our faith and trust in him and begin to look at the world through the eyes of Jesus. And so we know that the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. For anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists. That he exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word, "he exists," is just four letters in the Greek. It's the word esti, which means he means something. He is of profit to the world. Profit as in P-R-O-F-I-T. He makes the world. Because of him, things happen and they exist. He is, you see. He is. He exists. And so with that in mind, let's have a look at a few lessons. And I hope that at the end of this, we can say, perhaps I was blind from that particular perspective, but now I see. Just as Bartimaeus said that. Firstly, faith trusts even when you cannot see. Faith trusts even when you cannot see. You see, Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus, but he heard about Jesus. And in verse 47 it says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on him, on me." You see, Bartimaeus knew that Jesus exists, that Jesus was real. He didn't just hear about him, but Jesus was real in his life. And so over and over again, day after day, Bartimaeus would come and sit in public and beg. He was blind, but he was also a beggar. And he'd come and put his hand out and people would give him money. But he probably had a keen sense of hearing. And as he heard Jesus was around, he shouted, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me." Perhaps he'd heard about Jesus going around healing people and even restored the sight of some people. He didn't need for somebody to prove to him that Jesus exists. He took a step of faith, you see, because he knew that Jesus exists. How do I explain this? Well, perhaps if I stood here this morning and said, "Let me prove to you that Jesus exists," and I say a prayer and I ask God to take this roof and lift it and turn it around three times and then land it nicely again, word will get around. This place will be chockers next week. Imagine the parking problems. But you know, faith actually says we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, Bartimaeus took a step of faith, even if he could not see. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. The word faith there, pistis, means conviction of the truth of anything. Conviction deep down in my heart of a truth that Jesus exists. And as I shout out to him, I believe he can do something. You see, we believe, not because we've seen, we believe that Jesus came and dwelt among his people. And 33 years after he was born, he went to a cross. That he died and he rose again. We never saw that with our eyes, but we believe that. By faith, we believe that. We also believe that he's alive and he exists in our hearts and in our minds. He's real. Secondly, because of this faith and he exists, faith fights back any obstacles to Christ. Any obstacles to Christ. In verse 48 it says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. They rebuked him. They kept rebuking him is the tense there. It's imperfect tense there. They repeatedly said to him, shut up, Bartimaeus. In society, you're nothing anyway. Shut up. And so they continued, but what did he do? He persisted. He carried on. And the Bible says he shouted all the more. And the word there is krazen. He shouted all the more, krazen. And I don't know if we get the English word crazy, you know, from it, but he became crazy, you know, because he believed that Jesus exists and something could happen if he had this interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times we keep quiet because we might feel a little bit vulnerable in society. We won't speak out the truth. But friends, faith fights back any obstacles to Christ. And if he exists in our hearts, we don't have to embarrass people or embarrass ourselves in Jesus' name. But we stand up for what is in the Word of God and we stand up for what we believe because he exists in our lives or he does not. He shouted to the Lord, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. While everybody was yelling out to him, shut up, Bartimaeus. You're crazy. Keep quiet. I'm told in the 1800s, Baptists were often called shouting Baptists. And I think that it's because they got excited. While they were singing, they would shout out, glory, hallelujah. You know, and while the preacher was preaching, glory, hallelujah. And no pressure. But I think Bartimaeus was the first shouting Baptist. The first shouting Baptist. And sometimes we could be called snoozing Baptists. No, but Bartimaeus didn't listen to the crowd. But he shouted to the Lord. Why? Because he believed that God exists, that Jesus was among him. And despite the obstacles that the world was shouting at him, he stood up because faith fights back any obstacles that will get him to Christ. And thirdly, faith acknowledges him. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to the sister. Thirdly, faith acknowledges a need to be changed. Faith acknowledges a need to be changed. It says in verse 51, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. I kind of pondered over this. What a funny question. What a funny question. Jesus, can't you see what's going on here? What's up with your question, Jesus? Remember in John chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus asked a similar question to the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda. He said to him, do you want to get well? Because if I touch you, if I heal you, you'll need to take action. You'll need to get up, get on your 2x2s and impact the world. You won't be able to sit here anymore and just do nothing. What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? It's an interesting question because he could have said, Jesus, do you know of a good ophthalmologist? Jesus, do you know if Specsavers has that special on? Jesus, do you know a good eye doctor? Because you know what? I'm not seeing too well. But he cried out, Lord, I want to see. Very interesting word, that one, see. See, the Greek word for see is the word vlepo, which means to see. But the word that's used here is anavlepo, which means to recover lost sight. So Bartimaeus saw once before, but he'd lost his sight. And now he cries out and he says, Jesus, I want to see again. I want to see again. Touch me, Jesus. Touch me. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and there is a need in your heart and in your mind. Bartimaeus got to a stage where he acknowledged he had a need and he shouted out, because Jesus exists. Jesus, touch me. Have mercy on me. I have a need. My need is that I'm blind and I cannot see. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you have a need. Perhaps it's something that has come across your path and become an obstacle. Well, you know what? Faith, that reality, says that I acknowledge I have a need, and Jesus, you can change my need. The title of the sermon today is Cultivating Character. And the word cultivate is an interesting one. It talks about preparing to use the land for crops or gardening. And so you cultivate. You also cultivate in order to grow or maintain something. And so you begin to cultivate to change your own thinking, if you like. Change your own mindset. But it's not easy. It's not easy. Similarly, Scott Higgins says, these character traits, and I'll share some with you now, don't emerge magically within us. They must be carefully cultivated by intentionally practicing them. This is a lifelong task, he says, in order to begin being intentional about them. Each day this week, we need to focus on some of the awesomeness of who God is. And so it's a discipline, he's trying to say to us. But you see, this discipline begins with knowing that God exists, that Jesus came and dwelt among us, and he exists among us to transform our hearts and our minds. So I want to share with you just five character traits that mark us out as people of faith to be able to practice this generous love that Scott Higgins talks about. Firstly, he says that there needs to be gratitude. Gratitude by recognizing generosity. And he gives us a story about Haley Bartholomew in 2008, really wasn't enjoying life. And so she never had major issues, but she wasn't stimulated too much about life. So she started this program called 365 Grateful. 365 days of the year, she is going to discipline herself with being grateful for something. And so she began to take photos each day. Began to take photos of her husband. She was angry with her husband many times because he would serve her last at the dinner table. And as she began to take photos, she saw that although he serves me last, he always gives me the biggest piece of meat. So she changed in her thinking. She began to take photos of her children and began to appreciate them, and photos of life, and began to see that, wow, there is so much to be grateful for. And as I'm grateful, I'm able to share that gratitude with those I come into contact with. Friends, as we sit here today, in this amazing country, in this amazing city, in this amazing church, there is so much to be grateful for. So much. God has blessed us. Can I suggest to you, he has blessed us so we might be a blessing. And that's what Alexander Papaderos was talking about. He said, you know what? As I've been blessed, I will shine a little bit of that darkness into somebody else's life with that mirror. But secondly, Scott Higgins talks about the presence, space for generosity. And he gives us the illustration of some research that was done by some students, and according to the story of the prodigal son, and the whole research was based around factors that make people more or less inclined to help a stranger in need. And the whole outcome of that research was about time. So those who had more time were able to be more generous. Those who had less time were not able to be so generous. And so basically he's saying, let's make time. Let's make time. Let's be present among other people so we can make a difference in their lives. Because life is so busy. But if we're able to cut things out, we will be less busy in order to help others and see the opportunity. Thirdly, he talks about compassion, this heart for generosity. You see, there's a difference between empathy and compassion. Empathy is basically putting yourself in another person's shoes and feeling what they feel, in a sense. But compassion says, I put myself in your shoes and I want to change your situation. I want to change your situation. I put yourself in the shoes of refugees, of those who are less fortunate than me. I begin to see the way Jesus perhaps saw. Because his mission in life was to feel what people were feeling. To sense what others were feeling. You see, he was prepared to look at other people. Excuse the illustration. He was able to look at people with generous love. With generous love. I need to take these off because I won't be able to see my sermon. He was able to see people from a different perspective, you see. As we begin to take time out and listen to other people's stories, they're no longer just foreigners. They now become one of us. But that means we need to have compassion. Fourthly, Scott Higgins talks about wisdom and effective generosity. You see, we might have all the good intentions, but they're not having the best outcomes with our good intentions. We might have these amazing programs, but are we actually being effective? Are we actually making a difference? You see, he says that the goal is to help people into the fullness of life. And then, humility. Giving ourselves generously. You see, in the Greco-Roman world, honor and shame were very, very important. And to come down to somebody else's level was not honorable. It's a discipline. And so, Jesus gave us this illustration of humility, where you come down to other people's level and you are willingly prepared to lift somebody else up despite who you are. You might be great, you might not be great. Despite that, you're prepared to lift somebody else up, to advance somebody else's interests above yours. And so, he quotes on page 36, he says, these character traits don't emerge magically within us. Rather, they must be carefully cultivated by intentionally practicing them. This is a lifelong task. But in order to begin being intentional about them each day this week, focus on one of the virtues and look for one way to express it in each of your social contexts. I want to just read you a short story. It's about an author who tells a story of how he was driving along a lonely road late one night and when his car broke down. This friendly traveler came along, took a rope from the boot of his car and towed this author 32 kilometers to a petrol station. When I insisted that he accept payment, he refused. He rejected my offer to fill his tank with fuel. Well, I said, I must in some way return your kindness. The stranger replied, if you really want to show your gratitude, buy a rope and always carry it in your car. If we want to accept and enjoy the love of Jesus, If we want to be, if we want it to be meaningful, if we want it to be real, we must go on living in it. As if he exists, you see. As if he exists and is real in our lives, the way he was real in Bartimaeus' life. We must learn to care as he cared. We must seek the highest good for others as he seeks our highest good. We are to love his people as he did, warts and all. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but only by your Holy Spirit that we are able to live lives that are pleasing to you. So, Lord, we pray that you'll come and dwell within us, that you will make your presence known within us, that, Lord, that you will be real in our hearts and in our minds, that you will exist so much, Lord, that we can make a difference in those lives that we come into contact with. Help us to do this, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.